From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Diane Majapinto. Governor Gary Herbert declared a state of emergency until July 13th after protests in Salt Lake City turned volatile last night. KUER's Ross Terrell has more on what led to the civil unrest.
Thursday morning, Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill cleared the two police officers involved in the shooting and killing of Bernardo Palacios Carbajal on May 23rd. Officers Neil Iverson and Kevin Fortuna fired 34 shots after a foot chase with Palacios Carbajal, striking him multiple times. Thursday evening, about 100 people headed to the DA's office, posting signs around the windows and doors that read, They also painted the street in front of the building red and smeared red paint along the windows. Sophia Alcala, one of the organizers of the protest, addressed the crowd through a megaphone, saying she was upset they had to be out there tonight.
We've been out here being peaceful. We've been out here giving them a chance to do the right thing. And what do? They justified it.
Riot police showed up a little more than 90 minutes after the protest started and windows were smashed at the DA's building. After a few clashes with protesters, they were given a chance to disperse and two arrests were made. Ross Terrell, KUER News.
The city that adopted a nickname with ties to the Confederacy held a rally to support the name. A crowd gathered in St. George yesterday to defend the use of Dixie as the community's unofficial second name. In St. George, there is a street called Dixie Drive, and the city is home to Dixie State University, Dixie Technical College, and Dixie Regional Medical Center. Recent nationwide protests have cast a spotlight on lingering connections to the Confederacy. St. George Mayor John Pike says there are no plans to rename city properties. Students, teachers, and faculty must wear masks inside Utah public and charter school buildings and on school buses when classes resume this fall to help slow the spread of COVID-19. Utah's governor made the announcement yesterday as COVID-19 cases continue to surge in Utah.
We're going to use an abundance of caution and be proactive in saying we want to make sure that our schools are a safe environment for our children and for those who attend to our children.
Herbert also announced yesterday he won't be requiring face coverings in public statewide, but could mandate them if the state doesn't get to an average of fewer than 500 new cases per day over a week-long period by August 1st. For the rest of the summer, Salt Lake City public school children will have access to free virtual mental health services. The city school district partnered with substance abuse nonprofit Odyssey House to provide the service. Superintendent Larry Madden says many students are dealing with depression and anxiety during this pandemic. The telehealth school-based therapy will be free to students not covered by Medicaid or other insurance. 601 infections were reported yesterday by the Utah Department of Health and 4 COVID-19-related deaths. That takes the total number of positives to 27,356 with 205 deaths. The Navajo Department of Health announced 61 new cases yesterday and an additional 4 deaths. A weekend curfew takes effect there tonight at 8 through Monday morning at 5. All businesses on the reservation are required to close. Nation President Jonathan Nez says this accompanies his stay-at-home order. Weekend curfews will be the call through July 20th. Dinette College on the Navajo Nation plans to offer nearly all of its courses online this fall, and officials there say the school will ensure safety and technology measures to help students succeed during the pandemic. All but 10 of the college's planned 358 courses will be offered online, according to college president Charles Rossell. Lots of wildfire smoke in the summer can lead to more flu outbreaks in the winter. That's the conclusion of a new study published in the peer-reviewed journal Environment International. The Mountain West News Bureau's Nate Hedgie explains.
Scientists took a look at wildfire seasons and influenza numbers over a 10-year span in Montana. They found that when smoke was bad in the summer, cases of the flu went way up. Erin Langith is with the Center for Population Health Research at the University of Montana, and she's a co-author of the study.
We could expect to see 3 to 5 times larger flu cases after a bad fire season.
She says we don't know the reasons why this happens, and it's unclear whether it could also cause an uptick in COVID-19. But she says, what we do know is that air pollution can compromise immune systems and make us more vulnerable to respiratory illnesses. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Nate Hedgie.
And I'm Diane Majapinto. KUER News.